Krishna. So I wrote to him, by stating that Krishna has appeared within the Krishna consciousness movement, or ISKCON, does not mean that ISKCON is the exclusive or sole place where Krishna is present. I did not intend to mean that, nor did Srila Prabhupada in his writings. For example, in the holy temple of Radharaman in Vrindavan, Krishna is appearing as Radharaman. At the same time, Krishna is appearing in Vrindavan as Radha Damodar. He's also appearing as Krishna Balaram and as Madan Mohan in the various temples. I don't think my statement should be taken as a claim for the exclusive presence of Krishna. Moreover, these kinds of statements are sometimes made in the name of preaching. For example, Krishnadas Kaviraj says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in effect, that if one does not follow Lord Chaitanya, he is a demon. This statement is correct in context. However, Vaishnavas also preach in a broader way. We also sometimes refer to all the Vaishnavas, not just those who are following Lord Chaitanya, as within the family of Vaishnava Sampradaya, Ramanuja Sampradayas, and others. So sometimes a preacher preaches with greater exclusivity, and sometimes he speaks in a broader context. Lord Chaitanya even criticized the Tattvavadis, who were devotees within the same Sampradaya that Lord Chaitanya appeared in, namely the Madhva Sampradaya. And yet on another occasion, the followers of Lord Chaitanya will speak highly of all the devotees of the Madhva Sampradaya, the Vaishnava Sampradaya. Our spiritual master would sometimes remark that Jesus Christ was our guru, and yet we also distinguish ourselves from the Christian doctrine. If we were to discuss this very intricately, it becomes a complicated and difficult question. No preacher or thinker wants to be guilty of speaking or writing on a sectarian basis, yet inevitably, one expresses his particular line of thought, he distinguishes it from other lines of thinking. And that distinction can even be made in very minute areas and differences. Now, I'll move on to something else. I'd like to mention some particular things about Prabhupada, or the way the statements that his followers make, which might be seen as partial. And I'll ask some of you to give some evidence of the that this is an objective fact, if you think it is. So these are kinds of things that a Prabhupada follower will say, which may be seen as, like with this sati. She's saying that because of what she hears with her husband. Prabhupada is Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakura's greatest disciple.
Statement. It's a little partial coming from us, but no one has done. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's move was to spread Krishna consciousness in the West, and no one had done it to the degree that Srila Prabhupada had done it. Therefore, we can say that he was most pleasing to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. I also heard you give one class like this in Indian members' life. And life members home. And Mad Guru Jagat, my guru is Jagat Guru.
Yeah.
So that could be taken as another partial statement, but you explained it nicely that no one has done the Shiva Prabhupada has done.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Good. Prabhupada is Jagat Guru and the greatest modern Vaishnava preacher. It's sort of similar. I suppose a similar answer to what you just said. Then assertions like, his books will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. One way to explain that one is that figure 10,000 years is also the figure for the period of time in which Lord Chaitanya's movement can become very influential in the world. In this Kali Yuga, and after that time it will diminish, and Kali Yuga will get really unfit for Krishna consciousness more and more. So for that 10,000 years, figure is the same figure. And Prabhupada's books are, what are his books? Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and his particular presentation. That's based on factual evidence, too. Who else could say something like that? But it's based on the Vedic knowledge of the future. Prabhupada sees Krishna at every moment, and Krishna speaks to him. That's a sentimental thing. Someone might say of their guru. Yes?
One thing comes to mind that when a reporter was asking Prabhupada if he spoke directly, where he got his instructions for directing Krishna consciousness movement, and Prabhupada explained that he spoke to Krishna directly. And one disciple was trying to explain that actually it meant that he was understanding according to Shastra how to see things, and then he was acting on Krishna's instructions that way. And Prabhupada said, no, I see directly. I talk to him directly. So just based on what he's telling us, we accept that. It's objective.
Right. More, I suppose. But another one is, he is the great person who was predicted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Lord Chaitanya. They predicted that in the future, some person will come and he will spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And Lord Chaitanya said, in every town and village, my name will be known. So, although that's a very, as you can say, it's a great claim that we're saying our spiritual master is the person of this prophecy, but he is. The Krishna conscious movement is the one that has spread the Lord's name to every town and village, and he is the person. Okay, here's a real extreme one. He is the savior of the whole world.
Well, we could just see by what he has accomplished just in a short period of time and how many people became influenced to take up the Krishna consciousness movement. And it's possible that actually the whole world can take to it if they simply read the books that they're getting at the airports from all his disciples and devoted grand disciples. And there is a good possibility that he can save the whole world with spreading of Krishna consciousness.
And based on that example that Pranada gave, that what Prabhupada said is also kind of evidence. There's a morning walk where somebody comes up alongside Prabhupada and starts saying about how, oh, he was using the word Messiah, not Savior, but similar, that the Messiah will come back. And Prabhupada first says, what will you do if the Messiah comes back? And in other words, will you be ready to follow him? Mm. And then, I can't remember that exactly so well, but he says something to the effect that the Messiah has already come. And he indicates that the Vaishnav Acharya is also that savior. Who can deliver the whole world? Whether the whole world takes to it, that's a different thing.
This one is purported in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's somewhat famous. The Prabhupada says that its statement is that Lord Chaitanya spread this danning and induced the whole world to chant and dance. So Prabhupada raises the question in the purport that how is it that Lord Chaitanya was just dancing in the streets of Nadi and he induced the whole world to chant and dance, and he explains it like an expanding ocean. Just as it started there, the waves of that ocean continue, so he also, now that Krishna consciousness movement is carrying it on around the world, that will expand to the entire universe.
It also helps us to understand that these are not exaggerated statements, because he says in another place, that Lord Nityananda's servant can do more than Lord Nityananda by the grace of Lord Nityananda. So it's only by Krishna's grace that Prabhupada is doing these things which we appreciate and speak of. He explained the principle like that. Krishna wants him to do it. All right, now I'll ask some questions about this topic.
I just wanted to mention a couple more of the statements that people say.
Okay.
One is that Prabhupada is Nitya Siddha and one that he is Shakti Avesh. So what are the objective, what is the objective evidence for these statements?
Right. Well, the Shakti Avesh, you know, it's that verse, Krishna Shakti Vinanaha Tara Pravartana, that unless you're empowered, unless you're Shakti, Krishna Shakti, you couldn't spread the holy name all over the world. And it was Prabhupada's godbrother, Sridhar Maharaj, who quoted that verse and said, this proves that Prabhupada is Shakti Avesh. That's a good evidence for that. Today you could give some arguments too. Can you, Kevin?
Well, Prabhupada mentions characteristics of Nitya Siddha, and then he says that he, I think he mentions it in the relationship to Parikit Maharaj, and he says we also had that good fortune. Nitya Siddha is born in a good family and always has the opportunity at the beginning of life to take up Krishna consciousness. And I think he also mentions that he has contact later with a spiritual master.
Yeah. And, I never forgot, in this lifetime, I never forgot
himself, what he himself said.
More of those?
One place I was reading recently where Prabhupada said that for my whole life I always followed these four rules and regulations in my entire life.
Yeah, although I lived in I had an immense opportunity to commit sinful activities because I lived in an aristocratic family, but I do not know these things.
Yeah.
Yes. There's another one that devotees use too that Prabhupada, I think he said to Bhavananda something like
that. Oh, yeah.
Prabhupada told Krishna that I'm not very good at austerities. Krishna said, you just come down and preach.
Yeah. There is a statement that in the presence of the spiritual master, one should praise him. Are there situations where the etiquette would demand that we restrain ourselves? There are times when you shouldn't praise him.
If the praise would be counterproductive to what the spiritual master wants to do, like in preaching. And an example would be in France, where they had the big Vyasa Center for Prabhupada, and then the French students were saying, get down after that, the big chair. And afterwards Prabhupada said, no more big Vyasa Center public engagement. So that was the disciples offering praise to the spiritual master that wasn't appropriate in that situation.
Yeah. Are there any statements that are too much praise of Prabhupada? Well, I guess there's no such thing as too much praise. The phrase might be, as we were discussing earlier, a wrong kind of praise, like to say that he's Krishna.
Sometimes devotees use adjectives or qualities that are only Krishna can possess, like maybe unlimited or something like that.
Yeah, that would be too much praise.
It doesn't really apply to the jiva.
Or how about in times of preaching to others that instead of spending more time on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we're spending most of the time glorifying Srila Prabhupada?
Yeah, that could be. Especially if it's an inappropriate audience.
Of course, you could modify that, Guru Maharaj, and say that's also a way of preaching by saying about the spiritual master.
Yeah.
And someone becomes attracted then by realizing it's a wonderful personality. And then they can become attracted to the philosophy afterwards.
What I'd like to do now, what we've been doing in Vishnaiva Gitanagari, since I appreciate Srila Prabhupada in a non-sentimental way, but actually have some sentiment. Good. Do you have an answer to it? I think I can say offhand that newcomer means that they get instruction from older devotees. So if the older devotees are like this, they're not sentimental, then they'll give them a good introduction. They may have a tendency to be more sentimental, say the newcomer, but about Krishna too, he may start right away doing sentimental things in his relationship with Krishna. And then a devotee will say, no, we don't do that, Prabhu. But get the right instruction. Who is Prabhupada? He's very exalted, but you have to look at him in this way. Approach him through his books. And encourage them. Like you say, have some sentiment. I don't have time to read all these, but I'll have them all typed up, and then I'll use them next time I give the class. Well, some of these questions are not at all in the lecture. Good questions, though. That's really cool. In the Nectar of Devotion, it says that one shouldn't praise others before the deity. Does that include the spiritual master? Yes. Oh, praise. I was thinking of worship. Yeah? I don't know exactly. Before the deity. What do you think of it? We take praise Prabhupada in front of the deity?
We've always done it.
Reminds me of that scene in Chaitanya Charitamrita where the King Prataparudra is watching the devotees of Lord Chaitanya come. And he said, what are they doing? Why don't they shave and fast? And they're bringing all prasadam to them, and they're taking prasadam. They haven't even seen the deity. And poking out the charya says, well, those are activities for those who follow the rules and regulations, but there's another standard, spontaneous love. And when Lord Chaitanya is personally giving out prasadam, who will refuse? So, how come not praise Prabhupada?
And that point, by the mercy of Krishna, we get a spiritual master. So if we're expressing gratitude, we can express gratitude to Krishna for our spiritual master, so that's praising the spiritual master.
Krishna. These are nice general, nice questions to ask devotees. What qualities of Srila Prabhupada do you find the most endearing? What activities of Prabhupada illustrate these qualities? This is a tough one for me to consider. I've been hearing several of these classes. I'm wondering whether or not the subject matter will become repetitive, whether there'll be too much overlapping in classes that discuss similar points. Is there a way to make the classes more distinct from each other? Can we say that of the two, objective appreciation and sentiment, one is more important? That's a good question. Well, I don't think we have only one. Probably argument could be made for the importance of both. Sentiment more important? But if you don't know who he is?
I would think the other
objective appreciation.
And that would culture the sentiment naturally. Just like that you were saying before, how his question, how does a new person get the sentiment, but when he actually comes to appreciate the value of Krishna consciousness naturally, he develops a sentiment of involvement, gratitude, and he appreciates the gift objectively, and the sentiment of gratitude. And we see so many examples of sentiment just being sentimentality, you know?
Yeah.
Not being able to follow Prabhupada's order to expect sentimental one.
There was one quote I didn't read, but it was Mr. Devotee Gurudas talking to Prabhupada, and he said, I think he even quoted, so that Prabhupada had said this, but he said that the real way to know that you're Krishna consciousness, somebody said, and the answer is when you feel it. And Prabhupada said, that is sentiment.
Could a point be made for the other side then also? That, not saying that I'm understanding, but ultimately sentiment would be more important, like in the relationship with the gopis, with Krishna, or the cowherd boys. They don't objectively think of his position like that.
Yeah, if you take objective to mean philosophical knowledge, then you can say devotion is more important. How will future generations understand this worship of Srila Prabhupada if living spiritual master is not also worshipped in this way? Won't worship become, quote, historical, unquote, not real and living? Yes, the spiritual master has to be worshipped in parampara. But some of the things like we've been talking about Prabhupada, they're exclusive for his objective position. Founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupada would very much appreciate from his disciples and grand disciples if we would not find so much fault in each other and learn to love each other as we are learning to love Krishna. In the spiritual world, everyone is loving Krishna. This is a nice way in which we can glorify Srila Prabhupada. Comment about that group participation helps you to think about what's being said. Any other comments?
You were asking about when the spiritual master should be praised or not.
Is there a time when
he shouldn't be praised? Sometimes we might think, well, the spiritual master, he's very humble and he doesn't like to be praised. Even though I would even want to praise him, but I feel like maybe he'll be embarrassed, or maybe he doesn't like to be praised. So in that situation, should the disciple just go ahead and praise the spiritual master, or should he try to?
Well, somebody said you have to follow the mood of the spiritual master. There are things that. In other words, there are ways that you might praise that would be acceptable and ways that wouldn't be pleasing. There's an art.
It makes me think it would be shallow. Shallow. Yeah. You would always do things that embarrass everyone.
Yeah.
He would just barge into Prabhupada's room and start glorifying him.
Or Prabhupada would be going on a walk and he'd be standing there reciting verses praising the glories of the pure devotee. So it was just, and Prabhupada said, do something useful. But if you don't do it, when I read these some of these conversations and transcripts, and I see someone do it real nice, I think boy, that's, and I envy them. I think, well, that was really clever. He really did it. That had a nice. Prabhupada would be saying something like, Krishna is so wonderful. It's the most, actually, you're wonderful, Prabhupada. And so, because there's an injunction, you're supposed to do that. And when you come in the presence, the spiritual man should praise. When you don't, you feel a little, it's just my small-heartedness or my enviousness. And when you see devotees do that, not like that devotee who did it awkwardly, but when they do it nicely. But it can be overdone, or it can be done in a way that's not so nice. Yes?
It seems the best way to appreciate Prabhupada is to go out and spread the love of Krishna to others and let them know that Prabhupada is the one who gave us this teaching. And to go out and spread, ones who don't know about Krishna.
That's maybe the best thing that was said all night. Very good. All right, I'll stop here. Thank you.